הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Taking a step backwards for just a second, it's Memorial Day weekend. I think that you all know that. I pray you have a blessed Memorial Day and that you have great plans. And Memorial Day is actually one of those holidays that is very much like what I just described. What is it? Well, of course, the date is special for more than just barbecues and the unofficial start of summer. Yes, I mean, and that's the way a lot of people kind of look at Memorial Day here in the United States. It's a day for the barbecues. It's a day for, okay, the start of summer. We get a day off work. Oh, thank God for that. And we're thanking God for the day off work. But really, friends, that is a secondary reason why we should be thanking God, why it's a day that we should be remembering those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And before I get deeply into my message, I want to take a moment and I want to express our gratitude to our armed forces members who gave it all so that we can enjoy the freedom that we have in this country. Friends, I don't take it for granted. I'll tell you very forthrightly, I'm unashamedly patriotic here. I'm not ashamed at all to say that that I love this country and I pray for God's blessings for our country. And I support our military, period, end of sentence, hard stop. And while we specifically remember those who gave their lives on this day, as opposed to, say, Veterans Day, where we just thank all veterans, Memorial Day is really intended specifically for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice with their lives. They gave their lives in defense of this country in the United States Armed Services. That being said, I also want to honor those who signed their names on the dotted line, putting their lives at risk and placing themselves between all of us and those who would intend us harm. So I thank those also because they too, anybody who put your name on the dotted line to serve in the armed forces, they could have been on the list that we're honoring today. They put their name on that line. You know, that's no joke. You put your name on the dotted line. Listen, you may think you're going to be a cook, but you don't know. Those people on October 7th that were in the barracks in Israel had no idea they were getting up that morning what they would be facing. Some of them were cooks. Some of them were people taking care of the facilities in the army, in the IDF. And then, boom, suddenly their life was on the line, and many of them sadly lost. Such is the case with those in the United States Armed Services as well, including, I have to mention, I didn't actually know he was coming tonight, but also my father-in-law who's here, who's a decorated Vietnam veteran. I appreciate your service, Dad. Yeah, very much. Tell you what, he put his life on the line for sure, and many, many others did as well. But we want to honor the memory of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice here on this Memorial Day weekend. So at this time, I'd just like to offer a moment of silence as we honor the memory of those dearly departed who gave their all so that we could live in freedom that we have in this country. So let's just take a moment. There, Lord, we zachor, we remember, Lord, and God, I want to thank you for those who, Lord, voluntarily gave up Lord, and made the ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, for us, for our freedom. And so, God, I want to thank you for those. God, please honor those who were so selfless to have given themselves for all of us, Lord, and also for those who signed their name on the dotted line, who were willing to risk being on that list as well. God, I pray for the families of all those, certainly in our country, who lost loved ones in the armed service and in the call of duty. And so, Lord, please be with those families. I think about the orphans and the widows and who lost their loved ones. God, please be with them. Provide for them. Send them extra blessings. Please, God, just be merciful. Be graceful to them, Lord. That's my humble request, God. They are deserving of our gratitude here as we live in this country that is freedom and is based on in God we trust. Lord, please, let this country follow you, Lord, and touch these families. I thank you, Lord, and do honor the memory of those who gave it all for us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, friends, Memorial Day is special. Why? Because we're charged to remember. That's what Memorial Day is supposed to be about. It's so that we can remember those who went before us. And really, by extension, we're being asked to remember something of great significance. How they gave of themselves. We remember others who placed their names on the dotted line to be in the armed forces. We're remembering sacrifices of old. We're remembering things in the past that have an impact on us today. That's part of what Memorial Day is all about. The word memorial, even within itself, speaks to that. Well, interestingly, there are specific examples in the Bible of something similar. I'd like to go to Genesis, Bereshit B'Vakasha, Genesis chapter 28, please. Genesis chapter 28. I want to start off by talking about Yaakov, Jacob, the patriarch. And Jacob had an interesting encounter with God. And he was fleeing from his brother Esau. It's a story in and of itself, but he was fleeing his brother Esau, and he finds himself in a place called Luz. Okay, Luz is an area that's a little bit north of Jerusalem, 10 miles or so north of Jerusalem. And there it was. He was just kind of trying to escape his brother. And, you know, listen, you think you have family dysfunction. Not our family, of course. You know that. You know, no. man, the patriarchs, read Genesis. Oy, Gavalt, man, they had some dysfunction. They needed serious counseling. I'm just telling you, the patriarchs. And these dudes were twins, man. Jacob and Esau, they were twins. They should have been best buds. Ooh, boy, there was some challenging times between the two of them. So Jacob, his mindset was not in a spiritual mindset. You know, he was not, hello, Shabbat Shalom, it's nice to see you. Yes, it's, aren't we delighted serving the Lord? No. This guy was on the run from his brother. He wasn't thinking about God per se. He was just on the run. He was, traveling, and he would be going all through Israel. But he was in this place called Luz. And there he went to sleep, and he went to sleep on this, it was a very high area, and he went to sleep on this rocky area, this rocky place, and he had a fantastical dream. And it was a dream that was really a vision from God. And it was absolutely a mind-blowing vision. Listen to the vision that he had. Genesis 28, verse 12. It says this: he dreamed. All of a sudden, there was a stairway set up on the earth and its top reaching to the heavens. Whoa, a big stairway or ladder of some kind. And behold, angels of God going up and down on it. Woo-hoo, wow. Surprisingly, Adonai was standing on top of it, and he said, I am Adonai, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the land, and you will burst forth to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, and in your seed. We know Messiah would be in his seed. Behold, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I promised you. Woo, boy, that is a serious vision. Wow, there's so many different parts to that vision. Jacob dreams of God speaking to him, and God is speaking to him from on top of this stairway that leads up to heaven, and angels are going up and down on this stairway. This is a wild dream, y'all. It's very intense. It's visceral. It was very powerful. It was emotional form. It was anointed, and it was here that God promises Jacob and his descendants the land of Israel forever. That's what it says. He promises them the land of Israel forever. What was it? It was a confirmation of the covenant that God had already given Abraham back in Genesis 12 and such. You know this. God had already promised Abraham and his seed the land of Israel, but he specifically now is talking to Yaakov, the grandson, Jacob, father of the 12 tribes that you see around you here in the synagogue. And he's promising them, or in him, and his seed, the land of Israel forever. Very powerful. And beyond this, of course, we know that is inclusive of the land of Israel even to this very day. And the descendants of Jacob, obviously, the Jewish people of today. And beyond this, it was a supernatural sight that he had arrived on, that the Lord had brought him to. It was a supernatural sight itself. But why? Because it was somehow in this place that there's this stairway where heaven and earth joined in some kind of a supernatural way. There was a supernatural connecting point, if you will, of earth and heaven. There was a stairway that was right there, angels going up and down on the stairway. Okay, there was this connection point here. And Jacob clearly recognized the significance of both things. He recognized the significance of the promise, the covenant of God. By the way, when God promises something, it's done. Okay, he recognized the significance of the promise, but he also recognized the significance of the site itself, the site that he was on, which God later confirmed did have significance. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Let's keep reading what the scripture says. So Yaakov, Jacob, woke up from his sleep and said, I mean, this guy was freaked out. He was trying to escape from Esau, man. He wasn't looking for this, but man, he was turned over. He said, undoubtedly, Adonai is in this place, and I was unaware. Places matter, friends. So he was afraid and said, how fearsome this place is. This is none other than the house of God. This must be the gate of heaven. Wow, man, that's intense. You can tell. Early in the morning, Jacob got up and took the stone. He was laying on a stone and which he had placed by his head, and he set it up as a memorial stone. And poured oil on top of it. That's so interesting, isn't it? He called the name of that place Bethel, some people call Bethel. Should be familiar to us. Why? Because Beth, we have Beth Hillel here, right? You know, you should know Beth. Beth or Beit, Evrit in Hebrew, Beth means house. Hillel means praise. You know that because hallelujah. praise the Lord, right? That's your Hebrew scholars now, okay? And Beit El or Beth El means house of God. El is God, of course. Although originally the city's name was Luz, okay? And then skipping down to verse 22. So this stone, Jacob says, which I set up as a memorial stone, will become God's house. And of everything you provide me, Jacob says, I will definitely give a tenth or a tithe of it to you, God. We see tithing, of course, established in Scripture, pre-law, law, and new covenant. But that's a separate message. Friends, Jacob is blown away, absolutely blown away. Remember that nothing was going particularly right for Jacob at the time. Jacob was on a losing streak. Jacob was on the run for his life. He was afraid. Jacob was kind of, he was a man on the run. He was not in a real spiritual mindset, if you will. And he's just absolutely blown away. He was struck how special the message was and also how special the place was. He goes on and on about the specialness of this place. There's something that was visceral that connected with him regarding the connection of the place between heaven and earth and meeting heaven, meeting earth, heaven coming down to earth. And vice versa, from earth going back up to heaven, this connection point, this stairwell, if you will, and with the angels going up and down, and so what did he do? He created a memorial. Very, very interesting. It's interesting to note that he said that initially he said, "Man, I was unaware." He used this word. I love that. He said, "I was unaware of the significance of this place. I had no idea that this place was so significant. I came here just kind of on the way as a stop to take a nap and to sleep. And yet, man, I was unaware that this was holy ground. This is a special place." It's so interesting to think about this because oftentimes we do not know when God will do something for us or speak to us in such a profound way. Oftentimes, we don't know. We can't always plan out exactly when God's going to talk to us, or when God's going to do something for us, or God to do something through us. We don't always know. It can come in a very, very unexpected time. Jacob was a little bit kind of blown away because he said, "Man, I was unaware." It's right in the text, y'all. He says, "I was unaware. I didn't even know this place. What in the world? This place is special. I so specially built a memorial to it," but he was completely unaware. Friends, such is the case sometimes with us. Sometimes we might not be aware. Sometimes you might just be going about your daily life and then suddenly, boom, something happens. And it's profound. And friends, what can it be? It can be God interceding in your life in a powerful way. Be open to that. Be on the lookout for that. Be as ready as you can be for that. You know, how prepared can you completely be? I get that. But friends, we can be open to it. We can open our hearts to the fact that God may want to do something in us, through us, or speak to us at any time, in an unexpected time even. So what did Jacob do? He set up a memorial stone, a memorial to mark the place, and he anointed it with oil, oil representative of the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. And then he also, interestingly, changed the name of the place from Luz to Beth El, meaning house of God. He changed the name of the place. He said, "You know, listen, Luz is all well and good. Luz means basically like a hazelnut kind of a thing. No. That's not where we're at here anymore. This is the house of God, man. This is Beit El, or Bethel, as sometimes you hear it referred to. Beit El, this is a house of God, man. This is a special place. He built a memorial. He took these stones, and we know that God endorses this. We see it later when God speaks and tells Jacob, hey, you built a memorial at that place, and he was speaking very favorably about it. So there was something special. It was so special a place, and Jacob felt led to build this memorial. See, friends, sometimes it's important to memorialize things of significance that happen in your life. You see, sometimes there's importance to that. There's importance to that. And there are innumerable ways that we can do this, that we can memorialize things, if you will. But the point here is that there is meaning to a memorial. There is meaning to a memorial. It's Memorial Day weekend, right? We memorialize things that hold significance in our lives. Friends, it doesn't have to be a stone, a physical stone itself, but we should seek to do things that make us remember how God intersected with our lives in a special way. Right? When God connects with us in a special way. Wow, Jacob was like, man, I got to do something here. I got to somehow memorialize this because God intersected with me and this vision, and I've got to remember this. And this is going to, see, this is going to impact the rest of his life. What he saw and what happened there in that moment. It's so interesting. A connecting point to this message is that it has a messianic prophecy within it. How so? Let's turn to the book of Yochanan, John chapter 1, please. John 1. In what way is there a messianic prophecy? This is beautiful stuff, you know? It's powerful stuff. Man, and in this we see the nature of God. In this, we see the nature of God. Okay, so in this case, heaven was literally tied to earth in this place, right? You had the stairway where heaven and earth was, there was like I think that you all know I'm a sci-fi guy. Listen, pray for me. I know I got the nerdy side, okay? Just pray for me and love me anyway, okay? And for those of you who, you know who you are, hey, we can talk warp speed later if necessary, you know? But I can think of almost like this kind of cool sci-fi portal or something, you know, heaven and earth, you know, connecting in this way. But this wasn't fiction. This is truth. Beth El, the house of God. Interestingly, this is so interesting and so deep. And you got to understand, friends, My friend, Messianic Rabbi Matt, my good friend, he took his Bible and he goes to the page in between the Old and the New Covenant, and he went and ripped it out. And you know, and anytime somebody takes a Bible and starts ripping a page, you go, you know, it's just like, no, don't do that. But he was just ripping out the middle page. It didn't have any words on it. It just said, you know, New Testament or something. He just, why? He was making a point. This one book. It's same God. He gives the same, it's a continuing story. In any case, in the New Covenant, Yeshua, toward the beginning of his ministry, was calling a couple guys to follow him, to be his disciples and such. One of the people he called was a guy named Nathaniel, and he describes himself to Nathaniel when he first kind of introduces himself to Nathaniel. He does this kind of cool miracle where he lets Nathaniel know something that he wouldn't naturally know, and Nathaniel was kind of thought it was cool. But then Yeshua said, no, that's nothing, man. He describes himself in a profound and unique way. John chapter 1, verse 50. This is Yeshua talking to Nathaniel, and he says something very interesting that connects to everything that we've talked about. Verse 50, he says this. Yeshua is speaking to Nathanael. He says, because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? That was the little kind of cool miracle he did. Yeshua replied to him, you will see greater things than that. And then he dropped this bomb, right? Verse 51, then he said, amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man. Oof, end quote. Friends, what is that? Yeshua is alluding to Jacob's dream. Yeshua describes himself, the Son of Man is Messiah. The Son of Man is always describing Messiah. He's talking about himself, and he describes himself in terms of Jacob's dream and Bethel, the house of God. He says that he himself is the stairway. He himself is the ladder that connects heaven and earth. He himself is the stairway that connects and that brings heaven down to earth and earth up to heaven. Somebody say amen. See, that upon him, the angels go up and come down. Friends, Yeshua is the link that connects God and man. Remember that Jacob had called the stairway the gate to heaven. That's Jacob's words. That's what the stairway is, the gate to heaven. And then Yeshua says, I am the stairway. What's he saying? I am the gate to heaven. Hello? This is old covenant, new covenant coming together. Come on, somebody, that's pretty cool. This gives even deeper and richer meaning to the place where Jacob had his dream, which was only about 10 miles north of where Yeshua gave his life as a sacrifice, right? Getting back to, which is just, it's a mind-blowing parallel that Yeshua is making right there, and the connection is so deep and profound, and so meaningful and so understandable to the people of that time who would have known well the story of Jacob, and they knew well what happened at Bethel. They knew well about that. And when Yeshua was talking about that, you know, cue music, you know, they were blown away. And so getting back to Jacob, there's something special about this place that Jacob even is commanded to God, by God, to come back to. Let's go to Genesis chapter 35, please. Genesis 35. So this place, Bethel, would hold even greater significance to Jacob later. God, when God calls him back, he says, I want you to go back to Bethel. And when you do, I want you to build an altar there. So let's read about this. Genesis, and then he does something interesting to Jacob, Stephen. It's so interesting. Genesis chapter 35, verse 10, God said to him, God's talking to Jacob. This is a good time later, a good amount of time later. He said, your name was Jacob. No longer will your name be Jacob, for your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. God also said to him, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and an assembly of nations will come from you. From your loins will come forth kings. The land I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I give it to you. And to your seed after you, I will give the land. Then God went up from him at the place where he had spoken with him. Jacob, again, set up a memorial stone in the place where he had spoken with him, a stone pillar, and he poured a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. Jacob named the place where God spoke with him Bethel. Okay, so he's clearly there in Bethel again. And again, wow, this is so deep, y'all. It's so beautiful. I hope it's blessing you. Again, God promises Jacob the land of Israel. Again, it's a very high place. He promises Jacob, again, the land of Israel. And beyond this, it's here that Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Jacob, meaning trickster, basically, to Israel, meaning striver with God, right? It's interesting because this is actually the second time that Jacob is told that his name would be changed to Israel. The first time was right after the wrestling incident you're familiar with. This seems to have some kind of official authority as it was conveyed at the location where the altar was, where the memorial was, where the place, which was called the house of God, the name itself. This is how interesting. Did you notice? The name of the place was changed from Luz to Beth-El, same place where God confirms his changing of the name from Jacob to Israel. It's so very interesting in that way. So I'd like for you to think, and what application does this have for us? Because I think it has much in every way, friends. I'd like for you to think of something of significance that happened to you in your life. The message is great, and it's insightful in terms of what it reveals, and it's beautiful, and it's an amazing story, and the connection with Yeshua is so cool. No question. But I want for this to be something that you can use in your personal life. So I want for you, this is not even rhetorical, I want you to really think about this, to think of something of significance that happened in your life where God's influence in your life was clearly evident, a point where God intersected your life in a special or tangible way of some kind. It might be a time where you were healed from a sickness. We believe in that, by the way. It might be when your child was born or when Yeshua revealed himself to you. Or perhaps when you found your spouse, or when you started your business, or when you bought your house, whatever. Places where God touched you, where God met you, where God spoke to you, where God did something for you that you look back and you think undeniably God had a connection in this. Whatever it is, it might be anything where God moved in your life. I'd like to ask you to consider in some way, shape, or form, memorializing this as Jacob Yaakov did himself. Now, it doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be with some great level of formality. You know, yes, sure, it might be with a stone from that place. For example, I mean, again, I'm asking you to think and to consider this and to be creative. It might be taking a stone from that place, wherever it was that God spoke to you, and then maybe writing a scripture on it or something and placing it somewhere, maybe in your home, for example, or maybe in your yard or something. Something that you can remember what God did for you. Something that you can look at and say, wow, God did this for me. It could be, okay, y'all, listen, this is not me. It could be you could maybe do a cross stitch. I don't exactly even 100% know what that means, okay? But some of you do this needlework stuff that's so cool. In any case, some people have giftings that are way beyond me, and this, whatever it is, it might be a cross stitch you make, or maybe it's a poem that you write where you remember and you memorialize something that God did for you or did in your life or spoke to in some way. It might be a piece of art that you put up in your home, or it might be even just something as simple as a scripture that you write on the mirror, or maybe it's just a word or a phrase that this word or phrase is something that holds significance to you to remember what God did for you. It might even simply be a number that every time you see it, you're reminded of what God has done for you, right? Why do we do this? We don't do this to worship an object or a site or anything like that. In fact, if you study the history of Beth-El, Beth-El has a very long history in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, There came a time later, Jeroboam blew it, and he built an altar there, and he built and he had a golden calf there, believe it or not, with something like the tabernacle he built at Bethel. Totally missed it. We don't worship a place, friends. We worship the God of the place. Okay? You understand. But that having been said, these places sometimes can be reminders for us. God has ordained this in Scripture. It talks about it. It can be a memorial for us, something to remember what God did for us. Amen? And there are different reasons here why we need to memorialize what God does for us. First, it's clear that God honors it when we honor Him. God likes when we honor Him. What is that? I'll give you a different way of saying it, giving Him glory. We don't deserve the glory. He deserves the glory. Someone say amen. Yeah. Listen, friends, we can't take that upon ourselves. That has to do with a little bit of coming back to the fear of the Lord, right? Okay, so God honors it when we honor Him. He appreciates when we honor Him. Why? We're giving Him the credit for the things that He did for us. He made such a promise to Jacob. Are you kidding me? I'm going to make you that the whole world is going to be blessed because of you and your descendants. Messiah came from his loins. He was one of his descendants. Unbelievable. God, you are so great. Only God could do this. Only God could do this. We can't do this in our own. Right? He blesses Jacob and even brings him back to the same place to proclaim more blessings over him. Calls him Israel. So when you honor God, you are giving God credit and praise, which we're commanded to do. And there's a humility in doing so. When you give God praise, you're humbling yourself before God. Precious God, I humble myself before you. You have all the answers. I need your wisdom, Lord. Show me what to do. I don't know anything, Lord. You know everything. Show me, God, the right path. Right? Secondly, bless you, every time we see this memorial, we are reminded of how God did something for us of significance. There's a reason we have Memorial Day every year. We're supposed to be remembering those who passed before us, who gave everything of themselves. They couldn't even lead the rest of their lives. Why? For us. And that's worth remembering, their sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice. All right, how much even more so should we be remembering what the Creator of the world did for us? What Messiah Himself did for us by offering Himself as a sacrifice on a tree for us and our sins so we could be with Him. Friends, whatever it is, however it is that God intersected with you in a deep and powerful way, we need to be remembering these things. This is important because we are so constantly under the newest attack of the day that if we remember how God sustained us in the past, it will encourage us to rely on Him in the present. See, friends, this is how this works, is that because we remember what He did yesterday, you know, it might be that random kind of stone with a scripture that you've written on it. When you remember, you took this from a site when something special happened to you. It doesn't have to be this. It could be almost anything. Something, though, that will, on a semi-regular basis at least, remind you of a connection point you had with God. Then there will be a time in your life where you're going through it, where you're struggling, where you're having difficulty, where God doesn't feel like you're close to God. And you're like, God, where are you? I feel weary. I feel abandoned. But then you'll look at that memorial, so to speak, right? You will look at that and you'll remember, oh God, you know how often God says in His scriptures, remember what I've done for you. Oh God, you are faithful to me then. You'll be faithful to me now. It may not seem like it. It may not feel like it, but you're going to be faithful to me. Lord, thank you for that encouragement. The Lord can use this. This is part of the purpose of a memorial, a very important purpose that can help us in our times when we're going through a valley. Friends, God doesn't promise us always the mountaintop. He says specifically, in the valley, you'll restore my soul. Please restore my... That means we're going to go through valleys. We're going to go through hard times. But you know what? If we have God with us, we can go through anything. As a side note, Beth El, this is pretty rich. Beth El, this place where God promised Jacob the eternal land of Israel multiple times, and Beth El, it's in what is known today as, that's right, the West Bank, north of Jerusalem. And in fact, today it's a very dangerous place to visit. For these last number of years, in fact, you can't take a tour group there. Almost no tour groups go. Some do, but you have to take a bulletproof bus. And there have been people in that area who've not made it back. However, I was able to visit it actually spring of last year. I went just myself, and I got one of my friends who's a guide, a professional guide, and he and I just drove into Bethel. And we also went to Shiloh and to Mount Gerizim. It was an amazing time. But we went specifically to Bethel. It's such a significant biblical place, y'all, where heaven meets earth. It's called the house of God, right? Guess what? My guide and I, the only ones there. Literally the only, that tells you about, it's challenging area. It's a tough neighborhood. He and I were the only human beings at the spot, which is pretty interesting because they know this, the area that this is in and the spot it is. And it's so interesting because it's up on the top of a hill, you know, the area of the West Bank is the high ground. And Beit El outside of Jerusalem is very high up, and you can look and you can see on both sides. You can in the distance, I have some pictures. You can see the almost the Mediterranean over on one side, and on the other side, you can see the desert and leading down to the Jordan Valley where the Dead Sea is and the Jordan River, which leads to the Dead Sea. It's a little bit north of there, but right in there, it's like right at the pinnacle almost. And right there at Beit El, there's a large slab of exposed rock that protrudes from the ground, a very large area of it. And for many, many, many centuries, millennia, it's been regarded as the place where he had the vision. And there are the old ruins that you can see of Jeroboam's tabernacle, we'll call it, that he set up contrary to the rules of God. It's all there in Beit El, which is an amazing spot. But what's so interesting is how much of the world right now is calling Israel colonizers and attacking the Jewish state. And we read that Jacob himself set a memorial that this land was given to him and his descendants in that place over 3,700 years ago. Unbelievable. How interesting. And it's quite a view, Beth El, and it made me reflect and it made me think. And I actually was in that place, and there was a point my guide was there with me, and I said, you know, he said, you want to? I said, I do want to. He said, okay, go ahead. And so I just went ahead and I just laid right on that stone. I laid down there. It was a strange kind of funny thing, right in the middle of everything. And I just went like, okay, it's just me and my guide. And I laid down. It's think of it as like the how Stone Mountain is kind of up out of there. It's not near that much. It's just a kind of a large patch of exposed stone that's maybe the size of this building or room. But it's right up at the top. And there are other kind of ancient 1,000-year-old crusader memorial at the spot and other things. And I just lay down on the stone there and just spent some time in prayer and thinking about God. It's a place, that place, Jacob said, that place special, man. Heaven and earth meeting at that place. And it makes you think about Yeshua. Why? Because he is that stairway. You know, and so as I was thinking about that memorial spot, if you will, it made me think about the Lord, the house of God, God's promises to us and the truth of his word. And what does it do, friends? It indeed serves to remind us of his covenants. And the fact that here we are 3,700 years later after God made that promise. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When God says something, it is yes and amen. And that's why that blue and white flag flies after 3,700 years. Why? Because of what I just read you in the book of Genesis. That's mind-blowing stuff. Absolutely amazing. And validation of the word of God. Friends, remember this when you are in a valley or frustrated or weary. Regardless of how circumstances look or what the world thinks, the same is true for you too. The title of my message is A Memorial. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you, then I want to invite you to do so today. If that's you and you've never said a prayer to give your life to God, but you want to say a simple prayer to receive Messiah, raise your hand and we'll have a simple prayer if that's you. Is there anyone? Maybe you're watching online or listening on the podcast. You've never said that prayer. Repeat after me. Say, "Dear God, I humble myself before you and I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Thank you, God. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God." Yeah. If you said that prayer for the first time, wow, you just intersected heaven. You just had, wherever you are, is a Bethel. If you said that prayer for the first time, please, if you're in the room, see me after the service. I want to celebrate with you. If you're watching online, send us an email. We want to rejoice. God, I thank you for this Memorial Day weekend. I thank you for Jacob, Yaakov, for Bethel, and the amazing example and how, Lord, we can remember and should remember how you spoke to us, how you touch us, how you did things for us, Lord, to encourage us in the future. God, I thank you for these things. We love you with all of our hearts. B'Shem Yeshua, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Erev Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.